WVXU's first home was on Xavier's campus. Then, 20 years ago, it became part of Cincinnati Public Radio and moved to rented space on Central Parkway. Now, your NPR station is moving to a new home for our local public radio stations in Evanston. Follow our progress at cinradio.org/move.
If you live in the Lick Run watershed, which is primarily South Fairmont, a little bit of Westwood, a little bit of East and West Price Hill, and you flush the toilet, it ends up in this sewer.
We're close enough to Becca's house that we could be looking at.
Oh yeah, my poop is in here, I'm sure. Actually, I took a lunch break. I went to the bathroom at my house. I flushed the toilet. It might be here now.
It
might be here now.
This is Backed Up. I'm Ella Rowan.
I'm Becca Costello. You know, not everybody gets the chance to see where their poop ends up after flushing the toilet.
I should have seen that as a possibility when we started on this case, but for some reason it still surprised me.
But a much bigger shock was finding out the Metropolitan Sewer District of Greater Cincinnati is not responsible for stormwater.
Last episode, we met a fiendish suspect in the case of untreated sewage getting dumped into our waterways, the rain. It's what overwhelms the combined sewer system. But then we learned a shocking truth.
But I hear you say MSD is not a stormwater utility. And that surprised me for some reason. What do you mean by that? Because it seems like, they deal with stormwater all the time. Like,
I know.
So how are they not a stormwater utility?
I'm with you. This makes no sense to me. Honestly, I wouldn't have even thought we need a whole utility just for stormwater.
But MSD's number one adversary is the rain. Like, it seems like a given that the sewer system would be the one dealing with rain, right?
Another mystery to add to the board. Can you hand me the thumbtacks?
Actually, I think we need to order more.
Wait, we're out already?
We use them all in acronyms. The Metropolitan Sewer District of Greater Cincinnati, or MSD, collects all of our sewage and cleans it up. But MSD also collects and cleans a lot of stormwater. And that's because Cincinnati has
a combined sewer system. That means rain and sewage in the same pipes. This is a video produced by the local Sierra Club chapter in the 1980s. Marilyn Wall brought it to us, still on a VHS tape.
This is the city of Cincinnati.
On top of having incredible music, this little time capsule describes the problem we're still dealing with today, how heavy rain overwhelms Cincinnati's combined sewer system.
A thunderstorm or just heavy precipitation produces a large discharge of materials. The strain of handling such a load causes a lot of waste to bypass treatment and go directly into the streams and subsequently the Ohio River.
In other words, rain is what can make the sewer system overflow, releasing billions of gallons of untreated sewage and stormwater into local waterways.
Eventually, the Sierra Club sued MSD because these overflows violate the Federal Clean Water Act. That's how we ended up with the consent decree plan to fix these overflows, which MSD has been working on for decades.
This is why the stormwater utility thing is so confusing. Because if MSD is responsible for mitigating these stormwater problems in their consent decree, how are they not the stormwater utility? Who is in charge of stormwater?
If there was an easy answer to these questions, we probably wouldn't need to treat this whole thing like a murder mystery in Scooby-Doo.
And I would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for you meddling kids.
I mean, we're here to serve the Queen City to the best of our abilities.
Meet Eric Saylor, engineer for the Cincinnati Stormwater Management Utility. That's SMU for all of you keeping track of the acronyms, which I'm sure is everyone.
Stormwater Management Utility. Who knew that was a thing? This answers one of our big questions. SMU is the group in charge of stormwater in Cincinnati. Eric says they're on high alert every time it rains.
I've told my wife and members of my staff more than once, I look forward to the day where I'm like, oh, yes, it's going to rain today. But I love to sit in my garage when it's raining outside and read a book. But sure, it brings a little bit of apprehension to you, depending on the weather forecast. One of the beauties of Cincinnati is the topography, you know, the seven hills. It's called Little Rome sometimes. And what makes it beautiful is what makes my job challenging, because water just goes everywhere, down the hills and so forth, heading to the mighty Ohio.
Those beautiful hills are a big reason we need a stormwater utility. Here's the SMU mission statement. SMU protects the lives and property of the citizens of Cincinnati by capturing, controlling, and conveying stormwater runoff safely and efficiently in the city of Cincinnati.
So that's what they do. The biggest example of SMU's work is a huge dam where the Mill Creek meets the Ohio River.
When the Ohio River rises, it naturally wants to back up into its major tributaries and floods out. And with the Mill Creek Barrier Dam, for instance, which is the most critical piece of infrastructure that we operate on behalf of the city, it protects about $3 billion of public and private infrastructure all the way up through the Mill Creek Valley.
But flooding happens on a much smaller scale, too. About 15% of the city has totally separate storm sewers, and all of those are in Eric's department instead of MSD's. SMU also manages all of the storm inlets above ground that are connected into MSD's combined system.
And so if the MSD sewer is at capacity, there is nowhere for the stormwater to go. And so the inlets in the street that everybody drives by and sees will be full, and the street will be flooding.
That's not the only reason some parts of the city are chronic flood zones. The hilly landscape plays a huge role in this. Plus, a lot of natural streams were put into pipes and buried underground as the city developed.
And so that water still wants to go where it wanted to go 100 years ago. But now it has all this infrastructure that collects it, and then you've got to try to figure out how to get it out of there.
It's a big challenge. And unlike MSD, which covers most of Hamilton County, the city's SMU only extends to the city limit.
Every other city, town, village, and township has to deal with stormwater on their own. Okay, so back to the board. Rain is the big bad we're investigating right now. It can cause chaos in our neighborhoods with street flooding, and it's overwhelming our combined sewer system, causing gross poop water to flow into creeks and rivers.
But even though stormwater causes both of these problems, there are different agencies responsible for dealing with it. Every individual community in the area has its own stormwater management utility of some kind.
And MSD Director Diana Christie says stormwater is pretty much not their job.
When stormwater enters MSD's sewer system, it becomes MSD's responsibility, in a sense. If we're talking about what to do with the stormwater that is causing erosion or landslides or getting into people's homes, MSD can't provide a solution for that. We can't use our ratepayer dollars to address those problems because we don't have that area of responsibility, and it's really outside of our authority to use those funds in that manner.
Part of the confusion about MSD saying they're not a stormwater utility is that sometimes MSD does do stormwater management. We talked about one example in the last episode with the bioswale in North Fairmount.
I think that it has led to a lot of expectations that MSD can also address other problems that are related to stormwater, and especially some of these extreme storms we've had in recent years where we're getting these really intense rainfalls that cause a lot of damage and destruction of property. When, in fact, MSD can't do anything about the stormwater that is not in its system already.
Basically, MSD can pay for a stormwater management project if it will directly and obviously reduce how much raw sewage is dumped into waterways. But if a project is about the other consequences of stormwater, like flooding and streets and homes, it's outside their jurisdiction. Rain is causing all kinds of problems, and you've got MSD on one side trying to keep stormwater from overwhelming the system.
And you've got SMU on the other side trying to keep stormwater from flooding our neighborhoods.
If only there was a way to solve both problems at once.
Well, there is one solution for stormwater management that we keep hearing about, like, from everyone.
Green infrastructure.
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 And green infrastructure.
Green infrastructure is an umbrella term.
LOL.
For designing infrastructure with nature.
Seems you blend in with so many other ordinary things.
Green infrastructure is different from gray infrastructure. Climate meteorologist Lauren Casey explained it this way.
So gray infrastructure is the impervious surfaces, all the buildings, the roads, the sidewalks. Green infrastructure is putting in place more urban green space, more grass, more soil, more plants, more trees that have much higher absorptive properties than do impervious surfaces.
When we're talking about stormwater, absorption is critical.
So when you compare the two, on average, if you have natural ground cover with no kind of infrastructure built on it at all, and you have a heavy rain event come down, you'll see about 10% of runoff. Large amounts get infiltrated into the soil. Whereas if you have a high density urban environment, say like a Cincinnati, where you're seeing infrastructure levels or high density levels over the landscape, the runoff jumps up to about 55% because the water just has nowhere to go. And the places that it does go are not good.
Green infrastructure has become the standard for dealing with stormwater. And it seems like it might be our best shot at preventing backups and flooding in one go.
And you can't talk about green infrastructure without talking about the Lick Run Greenway right here in Cincinnati. Cast your mind back to May of 2021. If you haven't completely blocked out that second year of the global pandemic.
This was a very special time in my own life. I had just moved back to Cincinnati after about 5 years away. I was a couple months into my dream job, working as a journalist for my hometown public radio station. I got an assignment to cover the grand opening of the Lick Run Greenway, but I had no idea this would turn out to be one of my canon events, the first spark of a life-altering relationship with sewage infrastructure.
And look at you now.
Look at us. Hey, look at us.
Look at us. Huh? Who would have thought?
Not me.
In May of 2021, after years of planning and construction, everyone who's anyone from Cincinnati and Hamilton County celebrated the grand opening of the Lick Run Greenway.
I'm really speechless. I mean, this is absolutely gorgeous.
This is just so beautiful. Like, to actually be here is just mind-blowing.
This is a really exciting time for us at MSD, and I don't know if we've ever really celebrated our sewers like this before.
That's MSD Director Diana Christie leading the celebration of sewers. The Lick Run doesn't look anything like a sewer, though.
Yeah, it looks like a park, because it is a park. There's a playground, nice basketball courts, a small picnic shelter, and a paved path that follows a stream for over a mile.
The Lick Run Greenway is considered a national model by the EPA for sustainable stormwater management.
A national model? Our Cincinnati? Who is she?
And it represents an outside-the-box environmental solution that will help us achieve compliance with our Consent Decree Clean Water Act mandates and dramatically improve water quality in the Mill Creek.
The Lick Run used to be a natural creek, flowing east along Queen City Avenue into the Mill Creek. As the neighborhood grew, the creek became a huge problem.
I've got another newspaper clipping for the bulletin board. The Cincinnati Enquirer wrote about the Lick Run in 1891. The headline reads, "Lick Run Sewer, completion of the work to be celebrated, its immense importance to the residents of Lick Run Valley."
Here's our friend and colleague Marshall Verbsky reading from the article.
"This creek generally has an apparently harmless appearance. Yet in times of heavy rains, it becomes in a very short time a mighty torrent, threatening the destruction of property along its banks. But this was not the only evil of the creek. After every overflow, it left pools of water behind which, becoming stagnant, were good breeding places for many germs of sickness. To add to this danger, the people along the banks of the creek made it the dumping place for all their garbage and dirt."
Not their dirt.
The article says residents demanded a sewer, so the city built a giant underground pipe for the stream, essentially burying it underground. The new sewer pipe solved a ton of problems for residents here. No more flooding, no more stench from using the creek as a garbage dump, no more breeding place for many germs of sickness.
But the new pipe emptied out into the Mill Creek, just like the original Lick Run stream did. For a long time, that meant raw sewage went straight into another body of water, untreated.
"Good treatment of sewage gives us the added bonus of clean and pleasant rivers for our recreational use. Our rivers are the playground of Cincinnati and the home of a varied aquatic life and bird life. Inadequate treatment of sewage wastes endangers the delicate balance of these ecosystems and can turn a pleasant stream into an open sewer.
Eventually, Cincinnati built treatment plants to clean up the sewage and stormwater. But we already know that these combined sewer systems still have major issues when it rains.
The Lick Run sewer became one of the worst culprits of water pollution, dumping as much as 800 million gallons of combined waste into the Mill Creek every year, less than 2 miles from joining the Ohio River.
Now, MSD is under a federal consent decree to reduce how much untreated sewage overflows into natural waterways. The Lick Run Greenway is the biggest and most expensive example of how Cincinnati implemented the first phase of that consent decree.
It's a little ironic, actually. In the late 1800s, the whole city celebrated burying the Lick Run underground. About 130 years later, we celebrated undoing that work by restoring the stream to its natural flow.
The bottom line is, it's a win for the environment and also for our MSD ratepayers. Thank you.
But the Lick Run Greenway almost didn't happen at all. More on Backed Up right after this.
Hey, what up, y'all? It's Deuces, your host and creator of the Art of series, a multimedia series comprised of episodes that translate our journey of a deeper dive into understanding the world of creatives and entrepreneurs through immersive experiences with documentary-like visuals, original music, music videos, and in-depth conversational podcast pieces. But it's safe to say this is more than a podcast. With Cincinnati Public Radio, listen wherever you get your podcasts or at cinradio.org. Deuces.
Hey, fans of Poo Crime, join Ella and me for a Q&A event at the CET Studio in Cincinnati, Ohio on July 10th. Doors open at 6 p.m. You can reserve your tickets at wvxu.org/backedup. Those tickets are free, but they will go fast and you have to reserve a spot. If you can't make it in person, check out our live stream. Details also available on our website. We can't wait to see you there. When regulators approved MSD's original consent decree in the early 2000s, the plan was to build a deep tunnel. This is more than just a bigger pipe. It's a specific kind of gray infrastructure that's very effective at controlling a lot of stormwater and sewage at once.
The tunnel would have been around 16 miles long and 30 feet in diameter. So how did the plan for a deep tunnel turn into a park?
I think it's important to think about Todd Portune and his memory and his commitment to this project and Karen Ball. Let's give both of them for their decades of effort on this hard work.
Todd Portune was a public servant for years, including almost 2 decades as a Hamilton County commissioner. He passed away in January 2020. The county administration building downtown is now named after him.
Todd Portune worked to improve MSD more than pretty much any other public official, so it's no wonder why he got a round of applause at the opening of the Lick Run Greenway.
And the other person who's worked on this for decades, Karen Ball, once Todd Portune's chief of staff, and now the county compliance coordinator for MSD.
My role in the county is to make sure that everything that is necessary for compliance with the consent decree is thoughtfully considered and goes through the right channels for decision making.
Actually, Karen's connection to the Metropolitan Sewer District started when she was just a kid.
The reality is, my dad was the director of the district.
Oh, okay.
He started off before he was an engineer in college as a ditch digger, worked his way up to the director's office, and served in that position from 1982 to 1985 when he passed away.
Karen's father, Donald Miller, started working at MSD not long after it was created in 1968. He witnessed the birth and early evolution of the sewer district before eventually taking the lead as MSD director.
But I remember my dad was reading the 1985 consent decree on our dining room table.
This is a little confusing, but this isn't the same consent decree we've been talking about. This was an earlier compliance contract that had to do with one of MSD's treatment plants.
How many consent decrees does it take to fix a sewer system? Am I right?
And it was huge. It was gigantic. But he was really upset about how much stormwater was getting into the system that they weren't considering as things were expanding out. He was passionate about it. He wanted this community to be everything it could be and help people that he knew were going to be in trouble if we didn't do it right. I learned then that somebody had to pay attention to this stuff. I guess I didn't find anybody else along the way, so it became me.
Karen helped put together the plan for the current consent decree, and now she helps make sure everything stays on track. She also helped convince the EPA regulators to let MSD change the consent decree plan related to the lick run.
The regulators preferred us to do a deep tunnel that was to run from Mill Creek Treatment Plant all the way up to Paddock Road, Ronald Reagan Highway in that area. And that was costed out to be $485 million in property acquisition alone.
Ooh.
When the commissioners saw that just for property acquisition alone, it raised a lot of eyebrows.
So Hamilton County and MSD officials suggested a less expensive solution, separating stormwater from sewage so it never needs to go to a treatment plant.
Here's MSD Director Diana Christie again.
The alternative approach, the Lick Run project, was just actually part of a larger suite of projects that we refer to as the LMCPR, the Lower Mill Creek Partial Remedy.
Damn, that might be the longest acronym we've had so far.
Most stormwater doesn't need to be cleaned up at a treatment plant before being released back into the world. It's only after stormwater mixes with human sewage that it becomes too polluted to come into contact with.
So instead of building a deep tunnel big enough to hold all the polluted stormwater, why not just keep the stormwater from even being polluted? That's what the Lower Mill Creek Partial Remedy is designed to do, using green infrastructure.
But the federal regulators were really skeptical. Here's Karen with the county.
And they said, well, we'll let you try this other thing over here. But if it doesn't work, then you'll have to do the tunnel.
Karen and other officials were determined to try. MSD Director Diana Christie says one of the biggest reasons was cost.
So a deep tunnel was going to be very expensive. The geology of our region, we have very significant bedrock that you'd be drilling into and tunneling for a significant number of miles.
The LMCPR, including the Lick Run Greenway, ended up costing about $140 million, way less than a deep tunnel would have cost.
And by all accounts, it's working really well so far. We got to see it for the first time on a dry weather day.
So basically, what we're looking at now, this is the original Lick Run sewer that was built in 1893.
That's Deb Leonard, our source from inside MSD, sneaking us important documents and clues. Actually, she's the MSD Communications Director. It's just not as mysterious to say she very helpfully responded to several public records requests and gave us a behind-the-scenes look at the Lick Run sewer.
This is a big moment. We're about to go through a gate that says restricted.
Restricted area. Authorized MSD personnel only. And us.
Metropolitan Mystery Solvers of Cincinnati.
Most of the sewer overflow points that go into streams and rivers are a little bigger than a manhole, but the Lick Run overflow is massive.
Standing above the creek, you look down into a big concrete pit on the bank. At first glance, it kind of looks like a skate park with metal railing so you don't fall in.
The pit is about 25 feet deep and about that wide. A rusty, industrial-looking ladder goes down into the brutalist abyss. When it rains a lot, the sewer pipe isn't big enough to hold all the stormwater and sewage, so the pit takes on the extra water for a while.
It serves as a basin, right? Like an open storage basin. We can hold the flows in here.
But sometimes even the basin isn't big enough to handle all the dirty water. It's like filling up a water balloon. Eventually, you reach the bursting point.
Only when it gets up to the top level do we need to relieve pressure on the system, because that's when it would literally start backing up.
When the basin fills up with sewage and stormwater, a few big metal doors built into the walls open up, letting some of the contaminated water flow into the Mill Creek.
There's a big white sign posted here warning people away.
So I want to read what the white sign says.
Yes.
So notice CSO 5, that's the one we're at now, yes. Combined sewer overflow, untreated stormwater and sewage may discharge during and after rainfall, may contain harmful bacteria. And then there's this really cute little illustration of a pipe flowing out. There's some rain coming down. There's a dude in a boat. There's a fish on a hook and somebody swimming, and then a big red line through it. Don't do any of these things here.
The basin used to overflow all of the time, like almost any time it rained. MSD has a video on their YouTube page of an overflow in 2015.
The water absolutely gushes out of the gates. Dirty, nasty, untreated sewage water.
But then MSD brought the Lick Run stream back to life in 2021. Now this scene looks a lot different.
Becca and I went back during a storm a couple of months after Deb gave us the tour, and the big concrete basin was full to the brim.
You can see how full it is. That has filled with water. Remember when we were here before, you could see all the way down to the bottom? That's water.
Oh my God. Yeah, when we were here with Deb, wasn't this kind of like an abyss?
Oh yeah, it was deep.
It was full, but it wasn't overflowing. It doesn't need to do that anymore because a couple hundred feet away is a pipe that carries only stormwater.
We've diverted so much stormwater, we're just not having overflows here. So it went from like quarter inch rain to, you know, water flow to like, you know, so it's really showing how successful it is. So every time it's a good rain, I get on our interactive map and look and see, is CSO5 going off? Is CSO5 going off? And it never is. So it's very exciting to see that like in practice.
It seems like everybody raves about the Lick Run Greenway. So we kind of hit the same question we had about smart sewers. Why not just do this everywhere? Dig up all the creeks we buried a century ago and let nature do its thing.
But of course, it's not as easy as it sounds.
It turns out one of Cincinnati's Ohio neighbors up north was the first to include green infrastructure in their consent decree to reduce combined sewer overflows.
What hotspots got the hippest groove? Where all the real gone daddies move.
Cleveland.
Dig that sweet Cuyahoga glow.
It smells so good.
Cleveland.
The Northeast Ohio Regional Sewer District covers Cleveland and 62 surrounding communities. Kyle Dreyfus Wells is the CEO.
Well, so our consent decree, I think, is quite unique in terms of having this appendix related to green infrastructure. When we talk about green infrastructure, we're talking about stormwater management as close to the source of the stormwater as possible, which is restoring streams, giving streams access to their floodplains, protecting wetlands. Anything you can do to basically knit that capacity back into the landscape.
The Northeast Ohio District does a lot of green infrastructure like this. There's even a grant fund with about $2 million a year that will help private property owners do green infrastructure projects to help keep stormwater out of their combined sewer system.
I don't want to oversell green infrastructure in a combined sewer overflow control context. The green infrastructure in our consent decree is large-scale sewer separation going to a large-scale green infrastructure feature. So it's not really typical green infrastructure that you would think about, because here's the other point to keep in mind, is that combined sewer overflow is a volume problem, so you need a volume solution, which is why we're talking about these deep tunnels that can hold 360 million gallons of flow in a typical year.
Yep, deep tunnels. The same solution that was originally in Cincinnati's consent decree, but replaced with the Lick Run Greenway.
The Northeast Ohio District's consent decree includes 7 deep tunnels. 3 are already operational, 2 are under construction, and the last 2 are in design phases.
So yes, we have green infrastructure in our consent decree, but the workhorse of CSO control are these 7 deep tunnels. We have a lot of green infrastructure on the stormwater side, though, when you're talking about flooding, water quality, erosion.
This is a major difference between the Northeast Ohio Regional Sewer District and the Metropolitan Sewer District of Greater Cincinnati. In Cleveland, the same organization manages sewer and stormwater.
But we now know that in Cincinnati, stormwater is the jurisdiction of a bunch of other agencies, not MSD.
Even if MSD had the authority to do more big projects like the Lick Run Greenway, Director Diana Christie says they probably couldn't.
Lick Run was really kind of the perfect place and perfect culmination of the topography of City of Cincinnati with our really steep hillsides, and then really coming down to a corridor in a valley that had seen decades of decline. So you had about a mile of these blocks of abandoned or at least underutilized properties where we looked at that and said, you know, this could be transformational for a community if we managed to use the hillsides, convey the stormwater, convey it into where there used to be an actual stream running through, and kind of turn this area into something that could be a benefit for the community in addition to helping us remove stormwater from the combined sewer system. But that doesn't
exist necessarily in other parts of the city where we have similar problems.
In other words, green infrastructure isn't always cheaper.
It's not easy being green.
And a lot of times, nature alone can't do everything we need it to do. Even the Lick Run Greenway has some traditional gray infrastructure built in, like a new stormwater-only pipe and a system that keeps the stream flowing on dry days.
And even though all these stormwater utilities are working to prevent flooding, the rain is still the number one adversary for MSD's combined sewer system. The reality is that stormwater gets into the sewer system. Mm-hmm. You can't stop it. That's Karen Ball again, MSD Compliance Coordinator for Hamilton County.
Anything that anybody else does in terms of controlling stormwater helps MSD. And I think that's something that we all have to recognize that's going to help all of our bottom line when it comes to the rate increases that will have to be passed along to the customers.
Let's face it, nobody wants raw sewage to overflow into our creeks and rivers or to back up into our basements.
And now we know there are actually a lot of different ways to fix the problem. But that doesn't mean there's enough cash to make it happen.
Stand aside, rainwater. There's a new suspect in town.
There's just not a pot of money out there that we can go grab to bring to this community, so it has to be borne by the ratepayers of the district. The residential customers who are struggling already to pay their monthly bills and looking at rate increases to pay for these projects is something, yeah, they want it cleaned up, but, you know, don't raise my rates to do it. So it's a real struggle to keep projects moving forward, improving water quality, and keeping the rates as low as possible.
Next time on Backed Up.
The consent decree and the obligations of the consent decree are what looms large over the whole utility because it is billions of dollars and that is tied to rates.
We can't wait for fair sewer rates. Once again, we can't wait for fair sewer rates.
We were challenged with the term welfare. This is welfare. But you give welfare to corporate companies, you just don't call it that.
Backed Up is a Cincinnati Public Radio podcast produced with support from PRX and made possible in part by a grant from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation.
Backed Up is reported and produced by Becca Costello and Ella Rowan with support from Casey Kuhn.
Thanks to everyone who helped put this episode together and bring it to life. Asiya Michaud Johnson, Tana Weingartner, Jen Merritt, Ronnie Salerno, Zach Carrion, Marshall Verbsky, Stephen Baum, Brittany Matey, and Kevin Reynolds.
Super extra special thanks to Leslie Smith. Marianne Zalesnik is our VP of News. Janelle Walton is our VP of Content. Nicole Tiffany made our podcast cover art.
Special thanks to Sam Ransahoff, Tony Carlson, Grace Abler, Stephanie Kuo, and Mike Russo.
Go to wvxu.org/backedup to find a transcript of this episode, plus lots of pictures and extra info.
Like a link to an amazing digital exhibit about the history of the sewer system from our friends at the Cincinnati and Hamilton County Public Library.
You sound like the professor from Powerpuff Girls.
Yeah. Mixing sugar and spice. And everything nice.
What if I fell into the sewer and the whole podcast became like an in memoriam?
Sometimes I get those sewer blues. I hope there won't be any rain clouds.
Can you hand me the thumbtacks?
Can you read that again?
Yes.
Acting!